You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is, Boomer, it is Friday. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. Yeah, awesome. All right, Friday. You made it through Thursday. By the way, storms came through yesterday here in northeast Alabama. There is some even discussion about whether it was straight-line winds or mini tornadoes. But nonetheless, lots of damage in and around the listening area. Hope you guys are all doing okay. In the meantime, we're okay in here, and Boomer's on the board. Hey, bud.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. I got no jokes for you today, but it is Friday.
The assumption is that was a joke yesterday.
Yeah.
No, that was good. That was really good. All right, yeah, we got a great show laid on for you. 3 o'clock on Friday, Stephanie Smith going to be calling in for the Alabama Policy Institute. We'll converse with her, and we've asked for an update, too, from the Moms for Liberty in Maniston, and if they call in with an update, we'll be getting that to you as they arrive on the air. In the meantime, there's that. Stephanie Smith, 3 o'clock, and then I got a triple dipper, bar none, so hit it.
The triple dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. We're starting off by cooking up a batch of home fries. You know how it goes. You look around, you realize how much news there is in your area, and you recognize, you know, we got to keep track of what's happening here. Can't always talk about D.C. or what's happening in China. Now, we're going to talk about some home fries, number one on the triple dipper. And then number two and number three, both are coming in. Remember, that's twice in 1 week. We had shows that went so viral that I had two dippers left over.
That's right. Both of them are coming back from yesterday.
That's never happened before. Anyway, so number two on the triple dipper, live free or die. We're going to talk about that Second Amendment. I'm just telling you, man, they are after it, and they're after it hard. So live free or die, number two, triple dipper. And then number three, yeah, Bidenomics. And oh, by the way, it's getting thick, man. I mean, like, shovel your way out of the room thick as the ladies on The View try to say the economy is humming as they provide cover for their man, Joe Biden. But yeah, we're going to talk about it because it turns out that the bond rating for the United States just got downgraded. And we're going to talk about Bidenomics, number three, triple dipper. All right, let me jump over here to my monologue and my opening comments and just remind you that the monologue, the Right Side Way monologue, is sponsored daily by Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics all around North Alabama. We've got them in Gadsden, Anniston, Atala. Got five locations around the Birmingham area. Southern Immediate Care, they're open 7 days a week, all ages. And listen, if you need somebody, you may be just blessed by finding out how clean and how helpful they really are. Southern Immediate Care, you check them out online, find the location nearest to you. They're the sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. All right, so here's the deal. Divide and conquer. You've all heard that phrase, right? Divide and conquer. And it's commonly used, but have you ever thought about its application or where the phrase originated? So Webster's Dictionary defines the phrase as, quote, to make a group of people disagree and fight with one another so they will not join together as one. Okay. And I think sometimes it's just a matter of keeping them separate, too. I mean, there's varying references as to the origins of the phrase. But one of them, one that I believe is likely accurate, says that divide and conquer is said to have originated with a Latin maxim that was divide et impera, which means divide and rule. Julius Caesar used it in reference to defeating the Gauls during the Gallic Wars. But on another historical front, though, I read once about a battle that I believe was led by Macedonian warrior king Alexander the Great. Facing a large and ominous foe on the battlefield, Alexander would deploy his forces, and he was renowned for using the use of the phalanx as an anchor of troops in the middle of his battlefield deployments. And he would also cover his phalanx with mobile units that he called shield bearers, who would ensure that the phalanx could not be flanked. And then he deployed skirmishers, and then he often led his own elite cavalry, known as the Companion Cavalry, in what they described as a wedge formation. In this one particular battle, though, Alexander recognized his enemy had greater depth to his own formations. So as the two units came into position, Alexander decided to take his cavalry, and he began riding along the front of the troops, parallel to the battlefield, in a long line. And then he turned them to the left and began riding parallel all the way along the line of the battle, confusing the enemy like they didn't know what was happening. Alexander was beginning to send his own troops to parallel Alexander's cavalry movements. And this went on until Alexander decided finally that by doing this, he had spread their enemy forces out enough, and he turned and went into them. He wheeled his cavalry into a fighting wedge, broke through the thin lines of the enemy now, and once they were divided, he signaled the main attack, and his phalanx of infantry troops moved into that gap, and the divided enemy was fully defeated. You see, what he did there was he spread their forces such that they could not resist once he charged the line, and then once he found a gap, he exploited it. So why am I telling you this? Because I'm watching right now in our culture as the plans of liberals are being laid out trying to divide our society. And I mean that. I mean really divide us. Not even by happenstance. It's deliberate. They use the weapons and tactics of identity politics, and they couch it all in glossy terms like diversity, equity, inclusion. And they demand that traditional values be set aside. And they openly deride the nation that actually gives them the freedoms to have their liberal opinions. Let's take the situation we've got right now with the Madison Public Library right here in our listening area. They want you to stay away. They do not want you to gather and be together. Too many people, they say, while at the same time, liberal progressives are plotting a counter-protest across the street, calling people out for daring to have a belief system that opposes the liberal narrative. We need some excuses. It's too hot. The room is too small. We're concerned about security. Stop pushing your faith. You're not being inclusive. Well, sure. What they're really trying to do is break our will and divide our forces. They don't want us together at all. If liberals can make us believe that we have no unifying common ground or no ability to gather up, then we're going to be divided. If they can achieve their aim of saying that we are not diverse enough without ever defining what diverse enough means, then they have denigrated what is truly the most diverse nation in the world. If liberals can push the notion that this nation is systemically racist and that being born white makes you a privileged oppressor, or that being born black automatically makes you an aggrieved victim, then they have destroyed the notion of character, opportunity, and hard work. If liberals can tell you that standards must be lowered to ensure that education is more equitable, then all of our children lose. I mean, all of them. If liberals can push the notion that the entire social structure of the nation is built only on the backs of people who have varying degrees of identity intersectionalities, then they automatically defeat our sense of commonality. Think about it. The liberal mantras are always wrapped up in identity. Are you black, white, Asian, Latin? Who cares? Are you gay, straight, cisgender, gender neutral, non-binary? What? What are your pronouns? What's your truth? What are your grievances? Where's your equity? Come on. They also make sure that nothing is sacred, to include the value of actual citizenship. I mean, think about it. If liberals can defeat the reasons for which someone would want to become a citizen by giving away all the privileges normally associated with citizenship to anyone who walks across the border, legally or illegally, then why do we even need to have a nation? I mean, at that point, we're just a large plot of land where people live. Just a bunch of free grazers, all cohabiting in what used to be one nation under God, indivisible. So when liberals destroy the free market in an effort to establish pay equity, they deny people an opportunity to rise. Think about it. If I can wash cars or dig ditches and make the same amount as someone who puts in long hours to build a business or launch a career, then what good is success? Or even still, what if liberals could just pay you to stay at home and not even work at all? We've seen that happen. Yep. The most egregious and recent examples of the liberal divide and conquer effort was the overreaction and overreach related to COVID. 2 years of social distancing in which people could not gather. Churches could not meet to worship. Businesses were declared non-essential. Society was fractured and scarred by the forced efforts of big government to not allow us to remain whole. We had to be divided for our own good, or so they said. But I'm seeing a revitalization right now. I'll be honest with you, I am. And I mean this. There's a general mood. There's a burgeoning resistance to letting them too easily divide us. Parents are attending school board meetings. Government officials are facing primary challengers. People are hungry for the opportunity to gather up and show the left that we will not go quietly. I mean, when has a public library ever been such a battlefield? The dividers, they're scratching and clawing. But y'all, I strongly believe that unlike any other nation in the history of the world, the United States is just that. We are united. We are a people that will not long suffer fools. And we will work toward solutions to the wrongs in our society, but we will not suffer extended overreach. Divide and conquer is their plan. They shall not breach our lines. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. I mean, you can see it, y'all. You can see it. Look at Jason Aldean's song, Try That in a Small Town. They tried to cancel it. They tried to tell us we couldn't listen to it. They tried to tell us we were racists or homophobes for daring to listen to it, that we were somehow wrong for being right. That song is now number one in the nation. Well, by God, I'm telling you, we get together, and especially when they push, we get together. Don't let them divide and conquer. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Text lines are open. Text lines are indeed open. Some of y'all are keenly aware because you're already texting. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. And if you text in for the very first time, text the word right side, all one word, right side. And you'll get an automated message back that says something like, hey, you right side ruffian, thanks for joining us. And ask for your first name and where you're from. But yeah, we'd love to have more of you. I mean, we're getting close to the 1,000 mark in our texting system. So I see a few of them over here real quick. Let me just go ahead and see what we got. Jeff from Green Hill, Alabama. Great monologue. Are you a full-blown American? If not, get out of the way in this great country. Okay. Ike from Somerville. Don't forget with liberty and justice for all, because the left has forgotten all about that. Yes, I agree. Missy from Fayetteville. Colonel, you are so right about them not wanting us to gather. They even have the weather guys in on it. It says every holiday this spring and summer, most of us would get together to grill or hang out. They have predicted rain. I'm talking 90 to 100% chance of rain every holiday. It hasn't rained. A conspiracy of weathermen. I shall call James Spann. John from Huntsville just said, hey, Phil, I want everybody to know before somebody starts complaining about my grading system, I gave you an A++ yesterday. Even though you only completed one dipper, however, you just lost a couple of points on today's scorecard by saying that evil word, Bidenomics. Well, I'm going to say it again later on, bro, but I am talking down about it, so there's that. And then Jenny from Decatur just says, awesome monologue. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate you. Yeah, y'all text in. Give us your commentary along the way. We hope to have an update sometime in the very near future. I contacted Emily from Moms for Liberty about the event going on in Madison. Last we know, the Mexican standoff is ongoing, but that Moms for Liberty was saying they will still be there tomorrow morning. If I hear differently or something comes in as an update, I will surely let y'all know. Emily did respond, by the way. She said as soon as she could, she would send me either a text or call into the show and give us an update. All right. I got to chase a rabbit here for a minute, Boom. I got a bit of a mad going right now. I showed
a
you this.
A bit of a mad.
A bit of a mad. Just a, okay, a lot of a mad.
A lot of a mad.
A
there
lot
you
of
go.
A lot of a mad.
All right, what is it?
I just saw a tweet on social media, on Twitter, or X, or whatever we call it now. Arlington National Cemetery actually has their own Twitter account. I showed you this right before the break.
Yes.
Arlington National Cemetery, that hallowed ground, which, by the way, if you've ever attended a graveside ceremony at Arlington, it'll stick with you forever. It's amazing. But Arlington National Cemetery is now seeking public comments on the congressionally mandated removal and relocation of the Confederate Memorial at Arlington. By the way, this is a beautiful, beautiful statue, which has been there for decades. I'm not sure how long. But we're there. We're to the point now that you have to go tear things down in cemeteries now. Because, well, we can't have that. Well, you know what? It's also a time of healing. It's a place of healing. It's a place where, you know, people go to reflect. And the idea that somehow or another this is destroying our culture by having it there is just antithetical to common sense. It disrespects the dead, and it also just tears down history for the sole point of helping some people feel better. Those are my thoughts. If you want to chime in, you're welcome to it. Boomer's just shaking his head at me.
No, you got nothing? I got nothing. It's just infuriating that they're wanting to do something to something so monumental. I mean, I've been there,
yeah,
and I've seen it, and now they're taking things from a national cemetery and having to move it because it's what, hurting people's feelings?
I guess, yeah. And then you look at it too and think, it's been there how long, and
right,
and what negative effect did it have on our nation? None.
Yeah, and when did they start receiving complaints?
I'm pretty sure never.
Never.
Yeah. Anyway, they're taking public comment. I would encourage y'all, by the way. In fact, you know what? I just realized they've got the link to a website where you can go and provide your public comment.
Nice.
Okay. You can go to arlingtoncemetery.mil. arlingtoncemetery.mil, and there's a place on there where you can click on it. In fact, the extended version of that is arlingtoncemetery.mil/about/Confederate Memorial Removal. Anyway, I'm on the page right now. I found it on Twitter, and I'm going to leave my comments. I'm just tell you right now, they want public comments. They're about to get some. But I would encourage y'all, send in and say, how about absolutely not? How about just no? How about freaking stop? This is madness. Okay, if you don't want it on your courthouse square, okay. If you believe that in some way a statue of Thomas Jefferson really does cause great offense now, okay. But I got to be honest, stepping into the cemetery and destroying a monument is something that I have a real hard time with. I'm trying to see if it says on here... it doesn't say how old. Oh, here it is. The history of the Confederate. See how long it's been there. I'm like doing a mini dipper right now. The Confederate Memorial was in 1900. Okay, so it's 123 years old. It was erected in 1914. Authorized by Congress in 1900. Erected in the year 1914. So we're at 109 years old right now. It's just madness. It's just absolute madness. Yeah, I tell you what, Right Side Ruffians, go to arlingtoncemetery.mil and leave them a comment. Be cordial, but leave them a comment. All right, listen, we got a great show laid on for you. Coming up top of the hour, Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute will be on the line with us, always providing great commentary. I suspect she and I are going to talk about how we feel about the proposed rule coming out tomorrow to potentially limit the ability of candidates running for offices to take money from the teachers union. Wow. We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Oh, we'll be right back.